Lots of things end up in the Great Lakes that shouldn't be there. Plastic bottles and micro beads, fertilizer runoff from farm fields, and invasive species, just to name a few. Add to that list, prescription drugs. Researchers are increasingly worried about how chemicals from prescription medications could be impacting aquatic wildlife. To learn more about the drugs making their way to the Great Lakes and the threat they pose to the environment, we turn to Rebecca Clapper. Rebecca is a professor of freshwater science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She joins us by phone now. Welcome to Current State, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks so much for your interest in our research.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking with you. What kind of drugs are showing up in the Great Lakes right now?
So we did a study and found that, there's over 20 different prescription medications and non-prescription medications that end up in our Great Lakes, or at least in Lake Michigan, which is where we were measuring these compounds.
How did they get in the lakes in the first place?
A majority of what comes in for prescription medications, anyways, is coming probably through our sewage treatment plants. They weren't really designed to take these chemicals out. And they do a pretty good job, actually, of taking a good number of them out, a good percentage of them out. But there's still a small amount that comes through. And so we find these trace levels, really small quantities compared to what people would take normally as a prescription, coming out in the sewage treatment plant effluent. And then also we have, leaky pipes all over. Our infrastructure is really old, and so there's probably some coming through from just directly leaking into our groundwater and our surface water.
And how serious a problem is this? I mean, we're accustomed to hearing a parts per billion sort of measurement in these discussions of a threshold that we should not exceed. Is the concentration of these medications unhealthy right now, or is it still at a stage where it's not, but we need to remain vigilant?
You know, that's a really good question. It's like the million-dollar question. We have a lot of information now about the presence of these things out in our water systems, but we have comparatively little information about what kind of impacts they might cause. And so that's one of the things that our lab has been trying to tackle, although, and others too. The problem is that, trying to go through these chemicals one by one is very difficult. And so we just have minimal information about what kind of impacts they might cause. And it is really still at a very low level. And so, most of the research is done for therapeutic purposes. What concentration does what we need to do in a human body? And these are well below what that level is. But the question is, do they do anything at that very low level to fish and other animals?
I'm sure a lot of our listeners, I sit here, listen to you to talk about this, and I think if I were to paddle out in the middle of Lake Michigan and we took a water sample, Would you find residue of these kinds of medications or remnants of these kinds of medications in the middle of, say, Lake Michigan?
Now, we don't have data on the middle of the lake, but we went out about 3 miles away from shore, which is fairly far away, and we weren't really expecting to find anything. In fact, we were hoping that was going to be our zero. And what we found is that we're still finding trace levels of these compounds going out even 3 miles out into the lake.
Which drugs concern you the most when it comes to their potential impact on fish and other wildlife?
So for right now, for the small amount of data that we do have, researchers in other labs have found that hormones that are coming out of the treatment plants can act at a really low level on fish populations, and in fact at the levels that are coming out of the treatment plants. We didn't really find a significant amount of hormones coming out in Milwaukee, but it's probably because it was below our detection limit. But even below that detection limit, they're finding that it really might have an effect. Some of the other ones that are on the radar are the neuropharmaceuticals, things like Prozac and carbamazepine and other things that affect neurological function, because we know that those can act also at a very low concentration. And then the question is, what other ones? And not only singly, but when you put them in a mixture at all these really low concentrations of these medications, does that end up causing an impact that's greater than if you just had one of them by themselves?
That sounds extremely distasteful and unhealthy. You mentioned taking measurements 3 miles offshore. Where did those measurements take place exactly?
So we were doing a study that was supported by the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. They've been really forward-thinking as far as these studies go. They're not required to monitor for these right now, and but they wanted to know, you know, what's being emitted, what's coming down the line as far as what people should be concerned about that they are emitting from their treatment plant. And so we did a study within the treatment plant and then would follow the effluent going out into the lake from there. So it was from the treatment plants in Milwaukee and then going offshore from there.
Rebecca Clapper is our guest. Rebecca is a professor of freshwater science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We are talking about prescription drugs and the extent to which they are making their way into the Great Lakes. Your most recent research focused on the common diabetes medication, metformin. Can you tell us a little bit about how that drug may impact fish?
Yeah, so we were kind of surprised. We weren't really paying attention to that medication in particular, and it just happened to make its way into the methods that we were using for looking at the medications out in the environment. So it was a detection method. It was added to our list. And so we found that it was coming out actually higher than even caffeine out of the treatment plants. And we were finding it out in the lake to a greater extent than most things. So we decided to look at it in the lab and see what kind of impacts it might have on fish in particular. We're very interested in fish populations as other people are. And so we looked at a concentration that was relevant to what's coming out of the pipe at the effluent pipe for the sewage treatment plant into the water system. And what we were finding is that the fish were, the male fish in particular, were being affected by the medication. The females, it didn't look like it really had an impact in this first study. And what it showed is that it's instigating this pathway that is usually turned on in females. And so it's this compound called vitellogenin that the EPA and other folks are using as a monitoring tool for fish being exposed to what we call endocrine disruptors, things that might impact the hormones of fish and impact their reproduction. And so what we were seeing is that the males were producing this kind of precursor, basically, to that vitellogenin that would end up producing, it helps the females produce eggs, basically. And so that shouldn't be turned on in males at all, and we're finding that being turned on in males.
How significant do you consider your findings? Is this the beginning of a much longer, I mean, you've alluded to not much research being done. Is this the beginning of an arc of research that needs to continue?
Yeah, definitely for this medication. You know, it's really of great interest. So, you know, we did a one-month study that was in adult fish and looked to see if it, you know, we saw any kind of changes in reproduction. And so what we were seeing was just this, you know, this one major change. But what we're really interested in is, does it end up impacting fish reproduction over a longer period? So it could be affecting our populations of fish like perch and other things that we find out in Lake Michigan. And so, yeah, it definitely is a bigger arc of research on, you know, what are the significant long-term effects? So we see, you know, this kind of alarm bell going off, but what does it mean? And so that's the bigger question.
In recent years, Rebecca, we've heard more and more about how undesirable it is to flush spent medications or unused medications down the toilet. And that would obviously connect to what you're studying here. How big of a problem is that? Do you know?
So there is definitely a problem with flushing medications down the toilet, although I think that most in the field believe that really the major way in which medications get out in the environment is people actually taking their medications. You know, when you take a pill or a shot or whatever, it your body detects that thing is foreign and it tries to get rid of that compound. And it does so by either breaking it down or changing it into something else, or it just gets rid of it just as it is. And so, you know, just by taking your medication every day, you're excreting a good portion of that medication out into the sewage treatment system. And again, it's not necessarily designed to get rid of it, and it does its best. But there's still some of it getting out. And, of course, flushing your medications is not a great option either. And we're seeing more and more municipalities come up with ways of dealing with those unused medications.
What I want to talk to you about the future of this issue. And whose responsibility, Rebecca, is it to monitor the levels of these chemicals in the Great Lakes? Is this the EPA, the individual states? Whose?
So for the sewage treatment plant, what they're required to do is measure the organics, which these compounds are coming out of the treatment plant. And they have just this baseline level of all trace organics coming out of the treatment plant that they're not allowed to emit. So there's not individual monitoring for each one of these chemicals. And there's not really a regulation right now that requires any monitoring. There's an EPA regulation for safe drinking water and for clean water, and that comes into play with the drinking water facilities. And so there are these contaminants of concern, and they develop a list every few years of these contaminants of concern. And there are a couple of these medications that have made it onto the contaminants of concern list. And what they do is they do some sample monitoring around the country for treatment plants for
Rebecca, I'm sorry to have to interrupt you. We are out of time. We've got to let go at that, but we will try to have you back on the program to continue this conversation.
Thank you so much for your interest.
Certainly. We've been talking about how prescription drugs that make their way past sewage treatment plants and into the Great Lakes are impacting the environment. Our guest has been Rebecca Clapper, a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's School of Freshwater Sciences. This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.